world. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. As you're turning there, I just have a prayer request I actually want to share with you guys. We have our pastor in Minnesota. His daughter had a baby 3 months ago, and he was born with only a half-developed heart. So he was born knowing that he was going to have open heart surgery, or the parents, I guess, knew that he was going to have open heart surgery within the first week that he was born. So he had the open heart surgery. It was successful. He's in the hospital in Milwaukee, and he's been there now for 3 months. He's never been able to go home, but he's been trying to make a certain weight so he can have a second open heart surgery, and he made the weight so he can actually have it tomorrow. So this three-month-old is having his second open heart surgery in his life tomorrow morning at 9:30 our time. So if you think about it, please be in prayer. His name is Aaron, Aaron Tolley, so be in prayer. I know the Gross is known. They're from their church, or his grandparents are at their church, but I know my mom was talking to the boy's mom this morning, and she's nervous, obviously, with her son having his second open heart surgery in 3 months, and if this one goes well, it looks like he might be able to go home within a few weeks for the first time, and then he's going to have another open heart surgery in a few years. But just if you think about it, be in prayer for him tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock our time, 8:30 their time, he's having his second open heart surgery, this little one, little baby Aaron. So, and if you need any more details, I can give you as much as I know. I don't know too much, but I can ask my mom. She knows more. So, all right, hopefully by now you've been able to get to Psalm 18. Looking in verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. So tonight I was trying to think of what I should preach on. And I'm one of those people that I really like preaching through series, but only having one night, it was difficult. I was like, man, what do I preach on? Do I go expository and try to work through a passage and only make it through like half of it? Or do I go topical and pick one topic? And this topic kept coming to mind. And it's because the Lord's been really, really working in my life in this area. And it's kind of funny, whenever, Pastor can probably attest to this, or Andrew, but whenever you decide to preach on something, that whole week leading up to it, the Lord like gives you opportunities to try to test you to see if you've learned it yet. And I haven't, obviously, so through this week. But the idea of being fully dependent upon the Lord for everything. Now, as a college student, like I'm like busy all the time with school or with different things, and I tend to get so caught up in I'm doing this, this is what I have to do, and I forget to lean on the Lord for when I have a trial or when I have a paper coming up. I'm like, all right, I just gotta get this done. Or if something comes to my attention that needs, you know, the Lord's strength, I tend to rely on myself. If a problem comes up, my first response is, we can fix this. We can get through this. I can do this. I can fix this. I'm a fixer. I like to fix things. I like to make people happy. And when it comes to depending on the Lord, I fail so often. And following up after this morning's message with, there's no God like unto ours. And I try to depend on my own weak strength when I have this all-powerful, omniscient, almighty God at a prayer. And he's my Father, and he wants to help me. And yet I'm so busy depending on my own weak strength, and I fall over and over. And I don't know if there's anyone in here like me, but I hope this is a challenge to you guys. It's been a challenge to me studying it, and this whole week I've been, different things have come up, and it's been like, all right, am I actually practicing what I preach? But starting in this verse, it talks about who the Lord is. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. God is all these things to us. And so tonight we're going to be jumping around to different passages, but this is a great place to start, because once we know who our God is, just like Pastor preached on this morning, who is our God, we can trust in him, we can depend on him with all these different areas I'm going to talk about. So I'm going to talk about four different ways and areas that we tend to depend on our own strength, and then two ways on how can we practically depend on the Lord in our day-to-day walk. So as you guys know, I have a new niece. She is adorable. You guys all met her a few weeks ago. But as a baby, she is pretty helpless. She can't do things on her own. She depends on her parents for everything. She depends on her grandparents, her uncle when she's with me, for everything. She can't do anything on her own. She can't stand up. She can't eat. She can't prepare a meal for herself. She can't, you know, get changed. She can't use the restroom. You know, there's all these things that she can't do, and she depends on her parents for everything. And just like that baby, we should have that same dependence on the Lord, that completely wholehearted dependence. Not, all right, Lord, I'm going to give you this area of my life, but I'm still keeping back this little part. We should give our lives, Lord, I completely depend on you for everything. I don't trust in my own strength, because that's when I'm going to fail. So first of all, four ways that we're going to depend on our own strength. First of all, for salvation. Now this has two sides of the coin. Sometimes people trust in their own strength to get saved. They trust in their works. They trust in their righteousnesses that they do. But in Isaiah 64:6 it says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." So we may say, I'm a good person. I'm a morally good person. I do all these great things. I serve the Lord. I do all these things. He's going to obviously let me into heaven because my good works help my bad. But in here it says everything that we good, even our righteousnesses, our morally good things that we're doing for the Lord, if we're doing them without being completely saved and trusting in God and his mercy and grace, they're filthy rags. They don't do anything. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It's a gift. There's nothing we can do in and of ourselves to get saved. And I know most of you know this, but there may be that one in here that is trusting in their own works for salvation. Psalm 62:7, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge, is in God. God is my salvation." And I heard this in a class one time, and it said, one of the greatest expressions of God's power is his conquering death and sin. I'll read that again. One of the greatest expressions of God's power is in his conquering death and sin. God can do these mighty acts, but conquering death and sin is something no one else can do. Who is like unto our God? Only God can conquer death and sin. Only God can give us salvation. And when we completely trust in the Lord to do the work of salvation, we have no place to boast. Ephesians 2, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So we can't trust in ourselves to get saved, because our works will never get us there. We're never good enough, because it takes perfection, and it takes sinless perfection, and that's what God did for us. But then secondly, some trust in their works to stay saved. Now this one I see more often. You know, you see people that, I made a profession of faith, but I think I lost it, but if I'm doing good enough things, then I'll stay saved, and I can get to heaven. I can lose my salvation. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you think about it, in Revelation it says that no sin can enter heaven. So every time we sin, we would lose our salvation. But all of us are sinners, and we sin every day. No one would ever enter heaven because we've all sinned. And yet, God is the one, if we're trusting in him, that he's the one that saved us, our works, it doesn't take away that salvation that God provided for us, because we're trusting and depending on him. Now that we shouldn't live by, you know, that grace may abound. It says, in, I think it's Philippians or Corinthians, it says, God forbid. Don't live that grace may abound. God forbid. We shouldn't be living with just, oh, well, I have liberty, I'm saved. It's a get out of hell free card. It should change the way we live, but we have to trust in the Lord that he's the one that provides salvation and will continue to keep us safe. It says, I'm on my Father's hand, it says in John 10, and no man shall pluck me out of my Father's hand. No one on this earth can do anything to make us unsaved, but that's if we trust in the Lord. And that's a promise from God, which is awesome. If we look back at this morning's message, not a single promise from God has ever gone unkept. He's kept every single promise. And it's a promise that he's begun a work in our lives if we're saved, and he's going to continue it and perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If God is the one who's performing a great work in you, the burden is on him, not you, to continue that work. So first of all, we depend on our own strength for salvation. Second of all, for daily needs. Now, like I said, this one's really tough for me because so often my day-to-day tasks are not super difficult. I mean, I get up, I go to work, or I get up and I have homework, I go to classes, whatever. They're not super, super difficult. So I can make it through a day relying on my own strength, and I usually don't completely, utterly fail. I do sometimes, but for the most part, it's not super difficult. But if I'm making that a habit in my life of every time that some trial comes into my life and I have the habit of I'm going to do it on my own strength, that's when I'm going to fail. And we need to make it a habit every day of, Lord, I have to depend on you today. Lord, I can't do this task today without your help. I can't make it here without your protection. And we need to make that a habit of, Lord, I need to be depending on you every single day. But if we make it a habit to trust the Lord to provide, the burden is on him, and we can trust in his ability to provide. It takes away all the worry. Now, some of you may say, I just lost my job. I don't know how I'm going to provide for my family. I just had a family member get in the hospital. How am I going to provide? And we may be so used to relying on our own strength when things are in our control. But when that thing out of our control happens, when we lose that job, when we're in a car accident, when we have payments that we didn't expect, when different things pop up, hospital bills, things that we can't control pop up, if we're relying on our own strength, we're going to be worrying, we're going to be anxious, we're going to be frantic. But if we're relying on the Lord, it says he'll provide. Matthew 6, it says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." Like I said, like Pastor said this morning, we have this God that knows everything. He's omniscient. And he knows our needs. Philippians 4, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Jesus Christ." So if we're depending on our own strength and we're so getting the habit of every time something comes into our life, all right, I'm going to do this. And the last thought we have is, Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your strength. I need to depend on you for this. When that trial comes that's out of our control, we're going to go directly to where our habits are. We always go back to our habits. And we're going to become frustrated. We're going to become worrisome. We're going to become anxious. And we're going to fail miserably. But if we're relying on God in our day-to-day life and that trial comes, that thing that's out of our control says, "My God shall supply all your need." And it's a promise. And we can rest in that promise and trust in that promise that the Lord, the all-powerful God of the entire universe, will provide for us. So first of all, for salvation. Second of all, for daily needs. Third of all, for strength in trials. Now, I know some of you, I don't know all of you, and I don't know all the situations that are going on in this room. I know recently we had a few that were diagnosed with cancer, and I know recently we've had some that have passed away. I don't know all the situations in here, but if you're not going through a trial right now, either you have or you will. God promises that this life isn't easy. He doesn't say, you know, take my, you know, cushioned pillow upon you and follow me. He says, take up your cross and follow me. It's going to be a life that's tough. We're going to suffer. But it says in Psalm 18:30, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him." If we're in that trial, like I said before, and we're trusting in our own self, it's going to be too much. It's going to be overwhelming. So the flood's going to overwhelm us. And we're going to feel like we're just defeated. But if we're trusting in the Lord, we know his way is perfect. We can rejoice that even in the trial, he is there. That song that was just saying, God is with you even to the end of the earth. God's always with us, and we know that because it's promised in his word. And we know that if he's there, we can depend on him for anything, and he's going to give us the strength. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not. God's there. He wants to help. But so often we don't look to him until it's too late. And then lastly, Pastor kind of touched about this morning, but for victory over sin. It's one area that we often depend on ourselves. And for me, I find that when I fail the most in this area, when I don't have victory over sin, it's when things are going well in my life. When I'm doing well at my job, or I'm doing well in school, or my relationships are going well, or when things are going well and I'm not depending on the Lord. Because look, my life's good and I can handle this. This isn't bad. And that's when I find that that's when I fail the most, because I begin to take my dependence off of God and put it on my own self. And I'm fleshly and sinful and weak. And so if I keep my dependence upon the Lord, he's the one that gives me the strength. 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be to God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." Again, 1 Corinthians 15:57, "Now thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." God's the one that gives the victory. And you all know these. This isn't anything new. But I hope this is a reminder that when we're trusting in our own self, we're trusting in our strength and our ability to overcome the temptation, that's when we're going to fail. Because we're weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we have to be depending upon the Lord to give us that victory, because the victory only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're depending on him, that's when the Lord will bring that verse to mind. Or when the Lord will say, bring that friend that'll text you. Or when the Lord will bring that certain situation in your life that will help you overcome that temptation. But when we're relying on ourselves, that's when you're going to fall. Because we are humans, and we do make mistakes. But God doesn't make mistakes. And we can trust in him, knowing that he's the one that's going to provide for us and supply our need. So the four areas that we tend to rely on our own strength is for salvation, for daily needs, for strength in trials, and for victory over sin. So now that we've looked at what areas of life in which we struggle to depend on the Lord, you might ask, how do I change from depending on my own strength and start depending on the Lord? So you say that depending on the Lord is what I need to do, but I don't know how to get there. So here's two ways, practical ways, in which we can begin depending on the Lord in these areas. So first of all, through seeing our own weakness. Now this is tough, because in our world today, we like to put on that strong front. You know, you've got these sayings such as, pain is weakness leaving the body. No one wants to show weakness. No one wants to look weak. Everyone wants to put forth that I'm strong, I know what I'm doing, that facade. But here, we need to see our own weakness. Because even if we try to show this strength and independence, God's power is best expressed when we step out of the way and let God work. Because when we're saying, I don't need any help, I got this on my own, and then something bad happens, then you're like, scrambling. But if we're saying, I'm weak, God is strong, and something bad happens, and then we overcome it, who gets all the glory? God does. There's no glory can come to ourselves. 2 Corinthians 12:9, 10, I love these verses. It's Paul speaking, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. That should be our mindset, that Christ's strength is made perfect when I'm weak. When I step back and I put myself down and lift Christ up, that's when Christ will show himself strong. When we realize, Lord, I can't do this on my own. I have to trust in you. And so often in the day-to-day stuff, we don't do that. Lord, I can handle this. Lord, you can help me when it gets really bad. Lord, when I hit rock bottom, that's when I'm going to need you. And I think that's one of the reasons the Lord puts us in trials, because it forces us to see how weak we are and how we can't do this on our own. We have to have Christ's strength in our lives. But this, I thought, was also interesting, this passage. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ rests upon me. And he takes pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. He's glad when he's in these persecutions, these trials. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a trial, that's not my first response. Lord, thank you so much for putting me in this trial. Thank you for making me in this distress or this persecution. Usually it's, oh, Lord, why am I in this? Can you please take me out of this, please? But Paul says, I glory in it. I take pleasure in it. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Because Paul says, when I'm in these trials, no one sees me. Everyone sees how weak I am. But they see my God and how great and strong he is. And it's a testimony of those around us. So first of all, we have to see our weakness. And it's tough and it's humiliating. But that's how we have to do it. We have to abase ourselves so that God can be exalted. And then second of all, last of all, through prayer. When we see our need for God's help, it will drive us to our knees. We have the unique privilege, unlike any other religion, like Pastor was talking about this morning with all the different religions and the Hindus and the Buddhists and all these other religions, they don't have the unique privilege of going directly to the throne of grace. It says we can come boldly before the throne of grace that we may retain mercy, find grace to help in time of need. We can go directly to this all-powerful, omniscient God that we talked about this morning, that there's no other God like him, and we can go directly to him in prayer. And yet, how often do we go to him with our daily needs? How often do we go to him when things go wrong? For me, I find that prayer is kind of a last resort for me, and I'll touch on that a little bit later. A few examples of people that went to the Lord in prayer when there were things coming up in their lives for daily needs. First of all, David. We're not going to look at all these passages, but Psalm 4:1, Psalm 17:1, Psalm 54:2, Psalm 66:19, Psalm 86:6, and Psalm 88:2, just to pick out a few, is David going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I need your strength. Lord, I need your help. Lord, listen to my supplication. Listen to my cry. Lord, I need you. I'm totally depending on you for this because I can't do it on my own. Another one is Paul. 2 Corinthians 12:7-8. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Even Paul, who just a while ago said, I rejoice and I glory and I take pleasure in my infirmities. Even he said, Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, I need your strength because I can't do this on my own. And he besought the Lord three times that it might depart from him. There's nothing wrong with us going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I can't do this. And obviously, if he said three times, the Lord didn't take it away. And the Lord said, you need to learn something through this. Or through this, I'm going to receive glory because you're not strong enough. But I am. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. Todd Zavinsky said this a few weeks ago when he was here. I'm not sure if you guys caught this, but he said, prayer ought to be our first response, not our last resort. Say that again. Prayer ought to be our first response, not our last resort. An illustration. When I was, this past year, I was a floor leader in my dorm, and I had one guy in my dorm that I was struggling to connect with. I was struggling to get into his life. I had tried. I was just struggling. And so I had tried, you know, being a buddy to him, yeah, buddy, buddy. I tried being more of a authoritarian to him. I tried, you know, teasing him because he liked to tease people. I tried doing things with him. I had tried so many things, and nothing was working. It just seemed like he was getting further and further away from me. And I was at wit's end. I had no clue what to do. And so I emailed the dean of men and said, "Hey, I need to meet. I'm at wit's end. I was just burdened as all get out for this guy, but I didn't know what to do." And I got into his office and I said, "Here's what's going on. I don't know how to connect with this guy. I've tried. I've tried different ways. I've tried to change who I am. Maybe it's just my personality clashes. I tried everything." And the first question he asked was, "Have you prayed about it?" And it was like a knife sticking right in my heart. Like, I haven't even prayed about it yet. I've been doing all this work on my own strength. I've been trying this, trying that, and it's failed every time. And he said, "Have you prayed about it?" And it was like, I'm a terrible leader. my goodness, I haven't even asked the Lord what to do. I've just been trying to do this in my own strength. And then I thought, well, you know, all I can do is pray. I can't do anything else. I was like, do I keep trying, or can all I do is pray? And he was like, don't ever say it again. He's like, prayer is so powerful. It's not just the last thing you can do. It should be the first thing that we do. We should go to God directly before we do all these other things. And it when Todd Swinsey said that, it was like, it reminded me directly of that event. Like, I had tried all these things, and as a last resort, it was prayer rather than a first response. It should be the first thing that we do. Because during that time where I was trying to get in his life this way, or I was trying another way, or I was trying to change my personality, I was burdened, and I was stressed out, and I was worried, and I was anxious, and I think I got sick during that time because I was just so burdened. And as soon as I prayed, it was like that entire burden was lifted off me, and all the pressure went from me to God. And I instantly just felt like I was just like, oh, I remember I just sat in the dean's office just bawling. I was just crying. And it was just like, as soon as I prayed and gave this kid over to the Lord, and I gave this trial in my life, this burden, over to the Lord, I wasn't anxious. I wasn't stressed. I didn't feel sick. It was amazing. I've never felt it before. But as soon as I gave that to the Lord, all my cares and worries went on him. And he's the one that can, he's powerful enough to hold it. Whereas my weak self wasn't. And as soon as I gave it over to the Lord, I don't know what happened, but a light switched for that kid. And like, we suddenly started to connect. And I found that connecting point. And the Lord used it. Not only in his life, because we were able to connect and talk about spiritual things, but he used it in my life as a rebuke. Brett, stop trying to do these things in your own strength. And use my power, because I'm the one that's omnipotent. I'm the one that's almighty. I'm the one that's all-powerful. I'm the one that knows everything. And you don't. And stop trying to do this in your own strength, because that's when you're going to fail. And I did, over and over and over again. But as soon as I gave it to the Lord, that's when he gave the victory. That's when he gave me strength. That's when he gave me wisdom. And the Lord used it, not only in his life, but in mine. And I think probably more in mine. But prayer ought to be our first response, not our last resort. So we've talked about a few ways in which the Lord, or a few ways in which we tend to depend upon our own strength and not the Lord's, and a few ways in which we can practically begin depending on the Lord through seeing our own weakness, our own weak, fleshly, sinful self, and seeing our powerful God, and through going to him first in prayer. So questions for you guys tonight. Are you trying to carry your burdens alone? I don't know, like I said, I don't know each situation here in the room. But when I look at my own life and I see burdens that I have to carry and I'm trying to carry them alone, I fall over and over. Or are you willing to trust God, who in Psalm 18 is our rock, our fortress, our deliverer, our strength, our buckler, our horn of our salvation, our high tower? Or are you willing to give him and trust him with your cares and burdens? Because he's the one that's going to be able to hold them so much better than you. And all this worry and anxiety and stress and everything that you may have in your life because of this trial that you're trying to hold on to, this burden that you're just holding on to, you're not willing to give it to the Lord because, Lord, I can do this. I can handle this. As soon as we give it to the Lord, first of all, the pressure's all on him, which I'd much rather have pressure on him than me, because he's always going to come through. And the burden's lifted off of you too. It's a wonderful feeling. So are you trying to carry your burdens alone, or are you willing to trust him with your cares and burdens? And then we look in 1 Corinthians 1:9, it says, God is faithful. Like we spoke about this morning, our God is faithful. He's powerful. There's no God like him in this universe. So when I was going through this message, getting all prepared, a song kept popping into my head, and when I looked up the words, it fit more perfectly than I thought at first. But these words are of a song you guys will all know as soon as I start reading it, but I hope that these words will remind you of some of the stuff we talked about tonight. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. We worry about it. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Our weak and heavy laden, come to the Lord in prayer. Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Are you guys carrying pain and burdens that you don't have to? Are you doing, it says, oh, what needless pain we bear. And we forfeit peace because we're not taking it to the Lord, who's the one that can provide that solace. And the burden being lifted because it's all put on him and not our own selves. Let's pray.